Parshas Achremos Kedoshim, taking place, would be read, if not for, what's happening right now in the world. But we will learn to remember Parshios Achremos Kedoshim, a whole bunch of double Parshiot that we're doing over the course of last week and heading into the next few weeks. And Parshas Kedoshim is rife with mitzvot, as we know. We're going to skip right to Kedoshim, and it's rife with mitzvot ben adam l'chavero, mitzvot that pertain between a person and his or her fellow. It's the most instructive piece is just the concept of Kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. You should be holy because for I am holy. And essentially, what God is saying is, to be holy is, and to be godly, to be like me, is not, what one would think. It's, sitting and, being a hermit, being an ascetic, divesting yourself of this world, and not being around people, not engaging with worldly affairs. One would think it's, I'm home, I'm quarantined today, I'm going to sit and learn all day. That's not what holiness is associated with. Kedusha, Kedoshim, is associated with engaging within this world. The famous idea of Rashi, Hevuprushim min ha'arayot, you should be separate, you should separate yourself from adultery or immoral kind of behavior. That's again someone who engages in this world, but has boundaries and has limits, and places those boundaries and limitations upon his or herself, for the betterment of himself, for the betterment of his community, of his family, of all of humanity. That's Rashi. Then you have the Ramban, even more explicitly dealing with how one engages in this world, and it's a famous Ramban, the Ramban of Novel Birshus HaTorah, that a person shouldn't feel like, look, the Torah doesn't promote asceticism. The Torah promotes a sense of being involved in this world, of eating, of drinking, of procreating, of engaging in worldly pleasures. So what does the Novel Birshus HaTorah do? The Ramban says, the disgusting person, with the permission of the Torah, he's the person or she's the person that doesn't just engage, but indulges, right? Goes too far, right? He eats and he drinks. He doesn't stop. I think for me, the best example is, I wait 6 hours between meat and milk. And that's my minhag. It's my family. It's basically my family minhag. Other people, I'm sure, even on this call, probably wait 3 hours. And I let my kids, when before they become bar mitzvah, the boys and girl, before she comes bat mitzvah, I allow them, to wait the 3 hours. It's hard, they're younger, whatever. So we'd go to a baseball game. Remember, there was a thing called baseball games. There used to be this thing where you'd go into a stadium and there'd be people around you sitting right next to you, and you'd pass like food one to the other. Really an unbelievable thing. One day maybe we could go to a museum and figure out what a baseball game was, or better. Maybe hopefully we should go again. Mirtz Hashem. And we, Aiden was young, we'd go and it's like the first inning. And he'd be like, all right, Dad, we have to go strategically. We have to get our hot dog now. And I'm like, okay, what? Like, let's just wait an inning or two. Like, we're not hungry yet. No. I need to do it now. I said, why? Why do you need to do it now? Because he says, because then by the ninth inning, I could have ice cream. And I'm like, because it'll be like 3 hours, away if I do it right at the beginning. And I'm like, Aiden, that's why? No. He goes, why not? It's 3 hours. It's fine. And I was like, because that's indulgent. And he's like, I don't know. He's 11 years old, 10 years old. He's like, what does that mean? I said, it's just, it's too much. It's Navol Rishus HaTorah, right? You're taking the mitzvot and you're saying, you know, I could be a fresser, I could be a pig, I could be a whatever. It's good, you know, I have the Torah on my side. That's the Ramban says. That's what Kedosha means. Kedosha means not just, yes, you know, not just like what Rashi says about adultery and immorality. He says really just with anything. Practice moderation. There has to be a sense of pulling back. You know, yes, there are things that are allowed, but yes, you know, meat is kosher and as long as it's shechted and so on. But like, again, all within a certain realm of what's proper. You know, can you go out and fress a little bit? Yeah, of course you can, but that shouldn't be every night. It shouldn't, you know, can a person drink? Of course they can, but it shouldn't be every night. It shouldn't be, well, Corona, during Corona times, a little bit different, but you know, you just, that's not good. These things aren't good for the soul. These things aren't good for you. They're not good for your sense of self, your sense of identity, your sense of you know, of drive for anything in life. You have to practice moderation. That's the Ramban. But on the most basic level, what you see about Parsha Kedoshim is the plethora of mitzvot that are not mitzvot that pertain between humanity and the divine. Rather, they're between man and man and woman and woman, right? They're between person to person. And what you see is, honestly, that's what it means to be a kadosh. It means to be a practice, a sense of holiness and, you know, ethical behavior in the way that you comport yourself, in the way that you carry yourself. You know, be a good person. Don't lifnei iver lo titein mechshol is in here, right? Don't place a stumbling block in front of a blind person, right? Don't try to talk your way out of things and try to manipulate people or things. Lo tekalel chereish, right? A deaf person, oh, they can't hear you. Oh, so I can talk badly behind his back. No, you can't. By the way, it also says lo telech rachel be'amecha. You can't talk gossip about another person in this week's parsha, right? There's so many mitzvot. Really, we're talking about several dozen mitzvot that are in Parsha Kedoshim in particular that speak to the kind of person you should be. That's what God expects from you. And it's actually interesting. The Kli Yakar says earlier in the Parsha, and we're not seeing this, but you know, I'm gonna pull it up for us. We'll do the screen share now. And here's the one that we'll see together. But what I want to show you is the beginning of Parsha Kedoshim. So that's going to be, hold on. It's going to be Pasuk Bet. He says, right, Daber al kol adat b'nei Yisrael, v'amarta alem kedoshim tiyu, I want you to be holy. So he says, v'hikdim l'parsha zu inyan kedusha Yisrael. And for what, you know, at the beginning of this parsha, God has this prelude of you should be holy, right? The kedusha, the sanctity required of being a Jew. Ki kemosha kasub kodem matan Torah, v'atem tiyilu mamleches kohanim, v'goy kadosh, just as before Hashem gave the Torah, he said, as a prelude to giving of the Torah, it said, you should be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. What does it mean to be a kingdom of priests? Kingdom of priests means a priest is, or the Kohen in Judaism, is part of the people, right? But he gets to serve in the Beit HaMikdash. He is the religious leader, right? He's the person that everyone is meant to follow. And the idea is that, yeah, you should be a kingdom of priests. You should be like a light unto the other nations. You should be a kingdom of priests amongst the other nations of the world. We should be a beacon of light. V'goy kadosh. And before God gives the Torah and gives the Ten Commandments and, you know, and Shabbos and don't do idolatry and honoring your parents and not killing and not stealing. And So either way, before this, God says, I want you to be not just a kingdom of priests, right? I want you to, you know, others to learn from you, be an example for other nations, right? But I also have a goy kadosh. I want you to be an example for yourselves. I want you to be holy. And again, what does holiness mean? It means that I want you to be good people. I want you to be moral, ethical, scrupulous, and comport yourselves in that kind of way. Okay, so now we're going to see the subject of our shir this evening, and that is here. Hochiach tochiach et amitecha. So look to the right, and it says lo telech rachil be'amecha. It says don't. Be a talebearer. Basically, don't be a gossip monger amongst your friends. Lo tamod al dam reyecha. Don't stand idly by the blood of your neighbor. Ani Hashem, I am God. Okay? Meaning these are things that maybe no one would hear. Like, well, teich rachil, fine, people will know. But, you know, people might not know. Oh, you know, there's the famous story. The famous Kitty Genovese case, right? And what was it, in Queens, I believe, in the 1970s, where there's this woman, she's lying, and no one comes by to help her. Like, no good Samaritans out there, no one there. It happens to be, Israel is so amazing on so many levels. Israel is so amazing, right? The fact that, you know, they have a population of almost 10 million people, and I was just reading an article about it. David Horowitz, you know, in the Times of Israel, said it beautifully. And there's 200, at this printing right now, as we're talking, 212 deaths. Obviously, every death is a tragedy, but 212 deaths out of 10 million people. And they have like 12,000, 13,000 cases. How do you understand it? It's hard to imagine, hard to understand, you know, what. And there are other countries that are similar, and it's like with the same kind of population, and it's like the numbers are just so much more, 10 times, 30 times. It's really unbelievable. But so on the books in Israel is a law called the Lo Tamod Al Dam Reyecha law. Literally means you can't stand idly by. If you see someone being hurt, you see someone that's being attacked or you know, some violence happening to someone, you have to help them, okay? And obviously, in the world that we live in right now with all this coronavirus crisis, that's something that we have to think about, you know, that our safekeeping or our safeguarding of these rules, these regulations that are growing increasingly difficult on so many levels for so many of us, we're doing it. Lo tamod al dam reyecha. We can't, you know, if we allow the spread, then we allow chas v'shalom others to be hurt, even if not yourself. Lo tisna et achicha bilvavecha. Don't hate your brother in your heart. Hocheach tocheach et amitecha v'lo tisa alav chet. You shall reprove, you shall rebuke your countrymen, your kinsmen, and don't bear a sin on their regard. And then it says, don't take revenge, lo tikom ve lo titor, don't take revenge, don't bear a grudge, don't take revenge. And the famous, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, ani Hashem. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? The catch-all for everything, you know, that ethical, that's required of ethical men and women. So look at Hochiach Tochiach Am Devil Atziz Valchet. Dafka Amitecha B'mitzvas Tochiach. So it's specifically your Amitecha, the person in your nation, your kinsman, who's in this mitzvah of rebuking. Lafuke Gimel Kitot She'enan Mekablin Tochacha. And this comes to exclude three types of people, three categories of people that don't accept Tochacha, that don't accept rebuke. And the halacha is that if there's a type of person that doesn't accept rebuke, you have no mitzvah to rebuke them. And in fact, you're better off not rebuking them, right? So many times I'll get some, you know, Rabbi, you have to say something. Rabbi, you have... You know, sometimes it's like, it's better not to say anything because, you know, what's it going to accomplish? If it won't accomplish anything, there's no reason for it. So what are these three different kinds of people? So heim rishaim, ksilim, leitzim. Rishaim are wicked people. Ksilim are foolish people. And leitzim are mockers or scorners. I'll explain what that means in a minute. Sorry, move this over. Okay, so now we're right in the middle. So he brings down psukim, the simanich Rachel. And the siman, right, the acronym that we have here is Rachel, which is like the Rochel, like the gossiper. A Rochel is a peddler, okay? Like someone who peddles, who sells things. Al tochach leitz, it says, don't rebuke the scorner. Scorner is someone who just, is smarter than everyone, who has all the answers, who mocks, anyone, who seems to have a moral compass or an idea about things that goes against your worldview. That's a letz. Uchsiv be'aznei ksil al tadaber. And it says, do not speak into the ear of the foolish one. Uchtiv mochicho l'rasha mumo. And it also says, when you rebuke a wicked person, mumo, it ends up becoming your problem, your blemish. Like, don't bother. Like, there are certain people, it's not worth it. It's not worth anyone's time. You're not supposed to. They're not in the class of amitecha, your neighbor, your friend, your congregant, someone that you could relate to, that relates to you. Person is a mocker, forget it, right? They're going to think, they're smarter than everyone. They're smart, the smartest person in the room. What do you have to say that will teach them anything? The ksil is someone who's foolishly ignorant. Just nebuch, like they're just ignorant. And no matter how much you try to tell them, they don't have the worldview with which to the knowledge base to understand what you're saying. And the other is the wicked person, obviously. A wicked person is just a jerk, as well as anyone. He wants to do what he wants to do. Ki kol aleich rachil, sameach le'ed. Ukeshu roa dvar erva b'chaveru, la'olam eno mochicho la'hashivo midarko. So he says it's like the reason why the acronym that we have is Rachel, this Reish Chaf Lamed, because it's like the peddler. Because the peddler is really always happy, especially when he sees something bad. He wants to peddle. You're peddling here. You're not peddling socks. You're not peddling, pickles. You're peddling gossip, right? You're a rachel. You're a gossip monger. So you see something bad, and you say, "Oh my God! Oh, this is great! Look how, wonderful!" And he doesn't try to rebuke them. He doesn't even want to bring that person back from the bad things they're doing. Rather, he just wants holeichem ragel. He just wants to go and. And, talk trash about these people. And say, oh, did you hear about these people? Did you hear about so-and-so? So that the public can know, how bad, they can be mefarsem klono. You could like sort of publicize the disgrace of these individuals or of that individual. Keder kol holech rachil. V'gimel kitot elu moasim atochacha. And these three types of people, they are reviled by rebuke. Like they look at it and say, come on, that's ridiculous. They don't get it. So therefore, you have no obligation to rebuke them. Now, let's use an example. Bill de Blasio. Okay? He sees the Chassidim in Williamsburg. And they're clearly not acting in concert with all of the rules and regulations that we have. I don't know. What do you do? What do you do? Did he do the right thing or did he do the wrong thing? At this point, you could unmute yourselves if you want to answer. And then I'll just mute you back. What do you think? Was he right or wrong? We know what he did, right? He said, the Jewish community, I'm warning the Jewish community, you're not listening, I'm going to issue summonses and so on.
But Rabbi, if I may interject.
Yes.
I was talking to my mother about this today, and she said that people took it a little bit out of context, because, in the Jewish faith, we have to look at safety. And, I don't think the mayor meant bad. I think that, he could have done it differently.
Okay.
I think he apologized. However, look at lives.
Uh-huh. Right. Very good, Jared. All right, I'm gonna mute you now. Anyone else wanna chime in here? Nancy, you want me to unmute you? I'm gonna do it. I'll do it. Nancy, there's Adam. Nancy, okay, unmute. Okay.
Yeah, I think that our Jewish community is should not be rebuking him so much and accusing him of stimulating more anti-Semitism, because I think in those rebukes we're stimulating anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. I think we should have let it slide. He called them Jews because they look like Jews. And he said the Jewish community and other communities should not be doing this. And okay. That's right.
Okay. All right. Nancy, I'm going to mute you now. Thank you. Anyone else?
Well, I think you may have an issue of whether who has the right to say not to go to shul. Is it the government, or should the rabbis have that right?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a big dialogue going on right now as to, among the Hasidim, whether or not they have to listen to the government, or should a rabbi have told them not to do something.
Right. It's also a very good point. A very good point. Anyone else? Josh?
You know, look, I think health and safety is obviously of utmost importance, so we do have to listen to the government officials. And with de Blasio also, look, that definitely wasn't right. By saying the Jewish communities, I think he's generalizing everyone, which you have to be a little bit careful about doing. I don't think he would have done that if it was a different type of minority. So I'm not in agreement with that. But, you know, he did explain it, saying that, you know, he was just very angry and he probably misspoke. So he did come back around and sort of fix it. But I don't think the rabbis should be making the call on this. I think it has to be left to the government because they're in charge of our health and well-being. And hopefully the point was well taken. And hopefully every community, Jews, Christians, Muslims, they all listen and they stop, you know, these type of gatherings until things calm down and the virus isn't out there as much as it is.
Okay. All right. So I'll weigh in, you know, and basically, here, Josh, I'll mute you now. I'll weigh in and essentially, like, I don't think he meant malice. I think that, unfortunately, this poor mayor can't get out of his own way. And, you know, I think he does... You know, the fact that he takes many, 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 many donations from these communities in particular, he bundled, you know, it's right. This is, you know, black on white stuff in Bar Park, Williamsburg, in these communities. I think he felt like, come on, guys, like, we're on the same. He was like, you know, I meant it, you know, as friends and family. And I think he does feel that way, but I if you look at the whole situation, the Hasidim, the situation was terrible. The fact that they made a funeral, and then they were saying, "Oh, we coordinated with the cops or whatever." They didn't, and they're blaming the head of the police department, the precinct there. It's ridiculous. They said all of our people are out. This was a prominent rabbi, and they're all going to come out. The kids are out of school. These people are. They're all going to come out to the. You know, you better do something, which is ridiculous. Obviously, it shouldn't have happened. Right? Should he have said a whole Twitter rampage on, you know, even what he said, he should not have said that. There's no reason to have said that. He should have taken care of it the way that you take care of it without putting it out there to rebuke them, you know, publicly, because ultimately, right, that does. And then it's interesting what Nancy said about people, you know, making a stink about how we said and what he said. It ended up that, like, you know, a funeral in Williamsburg all of a sudden was on Fox News, CNN, New York Post, and it went everywhere. And, you know, does it start with him? Yes, it starts with him. And then, you know, it sort of goes back and forth. I think that's just my idea. And the reality is, let's be honest, the reality is they won't take that rebuke in that community. And that, I think, comes from a different space of just, you know, I think a part of them really just doesn't, they don't get it. They really don't get it. Almost, you know, in a different category of people. There's just a sense of ignorance. They don't understand how this works. And there's like, it's like a clash of worldviews, and it's very, very difficult. And what Saul said is true. Like, you know, as much as Josh is right, yeah, hello, we have to listen to the government, and whether it's federal or it's state or it's CDC, or maybe it turns county, who knows? There's a big hodgepodge going on in our country right now. But we need to take direction. But ultimately, in a community like that, they're saying, well, please, well, I'm not going to take direction from the government. They're telling me I can't have a funeral for a prominent rabbi. They're telling me I can't go to a yeshiva. I can't go to shul. Forget them. You know, that's what they said in Nazi Germany in the 30s and 40s. And that's where that mentality comes from. And that's where it creates this tension of, is tochacha, rebuke, the right thing here or not? Now, within the community, that's even much, much better. And the reality is, I want to shine a spotlight on my cousin, who you had heard about before Pesach, who died, the Novominsk Rebbe. Okay, the Novominsk Rebbe. If you didn't hear, he was a cousin. My father actually was, you know, had a pretty, you know, solid relationship with them. We have his grandfather. I think, yeah, his grandfather was the Sokolov Rebbe. Was the great great grand my great great grandfather. Okay, so my grandfather and he were like, you know, solid cousins. He died. He was the head of all of North American Jewry, if not world Jewry. He was the head of Agudas Israel, of Torah Mesorah. Oh, sorry, let me fix my light. He was head of all these things. He had a Azkara. There was like kind of like a memorial service on a few nights ago. And it was, you know, live streamed on, I think it was Zoom or something, whatever the platform was. There were 60,000 people on this live stream. 60,000 people were at the Novominsk Rebbe, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, his funeral. What about the funeral that he had on two days before Pesach, in the height of the whole coronavirus thing? The Novominsk Rebbe was putting out put out a video about a week or two before he died, begging his community and saying, you don't understand. We need to listen to the health professionals, the doctors. People are dying. This is really dangerous. And imagine, right? We don't know who there was. I'm sure it was an amazing rabbi a few days ago who passed away, and it's obviously a huge loss for the Jewish people, immeasurable, everything. Novominsk, you hadn't heard of him. Novominsk Rebbe, 60,000 people were at his live stream. Imagine, there would have been tens of thousands 2 days before Pesach, in the height of all this. And guess what? His family did a private funeral. They didn't even announce it. No one knew where the funeral was, when the funeral was. And because they did it, you know, private, family only, like the way we're doing it. That sets an example. And ultimately, sometimes that's the best rebuke for people who can't hear it. But when you follow someone's actions, you realize, you know, what he allowed, what he did in his death is just really incredible. It reminds me of Rabban Gamliel. They say that in the time, was it Rabban Gamliel? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Rabban Gamliel. The time of Rabban Gamliel, there were these burial practices where people were people were like trying to outdo the other, you know, in terms of a sarcophagus and burial shrouds, you know, fancy silks and, you know, these beautiful sarcophagi and whatever. And the rabbis wanted to put like a stop on it. They wanted to, like, you know, come on, this is not right. These are, you know, a poor person shouldn't feel bad, you know, even when he died, that when he dies, he's going to have like a pathetic burial and people are going to talk about him, whatever, right? So what did Rabbi Gamliel do? Rabbi Gamliel, the Nasi, the head, you know, he's the aristocracy. You know what he did? He said, when I go, he said, I want to be buried in plain white shrouds. And obviously, that's to this day, that's what we have because of the example that he set. And that ultimately, people take that rebuke. Wow. For him, he did it. And sometimes it works, most of the times, it works better than yelling and screaming or begging. You show. That's leadership. And that's the way, really, to rebuke. Ulefi shenem arvelot. We're going to continue. Ulefi shenem arvelot tisa alavchi. No, Jared, I'm going to continue. I'm sorry. Ulefi shenem arvelot tisa alavchi. Miklal she'im lo tochichu. Miklal she'im lo tochichu. Azi yechato nasu alecha. So when it says at the end of the pasuk, you shall rebuke and, you know, your countrymen, and don't bear a sin on their behalf. So that teaches you, she'im lo tochichu, that if you don't rebuke, az yecheto naso alecha, that their sin will be on you. V'zeh lefi shekol Yisrael arevim zeh be'ad zeh. And he says, you know why this is? Because all Jews are responsible for one another. So let's say you took out a loan, right? And I take out a loan. I don't know. I borrow $100 from Josh, and Josh wants to make sure I'm good for the money. So he says, you know what, Harold, you like the rabbi, you know, you guys or whatever, you're okay. You know, you're good for the money. You'll be the Ariv. You'll be his. What's the word? His guarantor. Thank you. You'll be his guarantor. Okay. And v'almavel chaver noten le Ariv v'zmancha Ariv roe shehalove mifazer mamono. But then let's say Harold sees me out and about. You know, I'm wearing my mask, of course, but I'm out and about, and I'm just you know, throwing out money on I don't know, on big stakes at Seasons, right? And you know, I'm not being responsible with the money. So who mochicho miyirat haarvut? So Harold will come over to me and say, you know, Rabbi, come on, you know, maybe chicken, maybe you better go in with the chicken, maybe some hot dogs. Like, what are you doing? Come on, you're not gonna be able to pay the money back. Why? Because Harold, ultimately, that's going to fall at his step, at his doorstep, right? He's going to have to pay back the $100. I won't be able to. He says, this is the arevut of the Jewish people, the responsibility that we have for each other, that we're all guarantors of one another. Gorema tochacha, that causes the rebuke. Vimeno mekabla, and if the person doesn't accept it, Azai nakihu mimenu, then you're free of guilt, of innocence, right? Meaning, at a certain point, if Harold says to me, no, come on, I'm telling you not to, no, it's fine, da, 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 da. Eventually, what he's saying is, I don't know in a court of law if this would work, but on a theological level, he says, Ein shurat adin noten shiz bol echad ve'ad chavero she'eino birshuto. It doesn't make any sense that by right, that I should suffer because of another person that's not in my rishus, that's not in my, I don't have authority over that person. So why should I suffer from that person? Ach bedavar zeh levad nasu Yisrael arevim. However, it's only in this way that we're guarantors for one another as Jews, as fellow Jews. Shebizman sheyesh biyado limchos ve'eino moche az dinhu she pas ba'avuro. Because if you're in a situation where, you know, you see someone and they're in your, you have authority over them and you could tell them, you know what, guys, this is wrong. Or you know what, you really shouldn't do this. And you don't rebuke, you don't say anything. And you know they'll listen to you. Then yeah, it's my fault, right? If I have my kid, right? Let's say, you know, before he reaches the horrible age of, you know, 16, you know, where they don't listen to us anymore or whatever, right? And, you know, then the kid's 10 years old and then the kid's stealing everyone else's candy and, you know, you don't say anything. Hello, whose fault is it? It's the parents' fault, right? If you say something and they still don't listen, it's a different story. But as long as you have the ability to rebuke, you have to. And if you don't, then you bear the sin on their behalf. Im lo yochichu. Mashal mishalo bezeh, mashal mashlu bezeh, b'misha kodech b'sfina tachtov. They have a, he says, there's a parable to this, where a person is on a boat, and they start digging a hole in the floor of the boat. Sa'aku alav kol anshei hasfina. So all of the people on the boat say, like, Mazu atose, what are you doing? We're all going to go down with you. Hey Shivlem, halo tachtayani kodeach. He says to them, well, I'm just digging underneath myself. What does that have to do with anyone else? Amrulowi mikansu amayim tachtecha az titba hasfina mikol vachol. Right? So they say back, well, what are you talking about? But if the water comes in under you, the whole boat is going to capsize. Now, we're in a very similar situation, not just as Jews, but as people of the world, as citizens of the United States of America, as people, all of humanity, we're in this boat. And it's like, okay, you guys are doing that, and you guys are doing that, and you guys, what's going to happen to this, and what's going to happen to that? And it's very difficult. It's so interesting to see how each state has their own, you know, rules. And by the way, oh, whatever. I don't want to get into public health stuff, but you know, it's just understandable, right? In New York, unfortunately, there's so much terribleness here. I know that's not a word, but it's just it speaks to what's happening. But in wherever, you know, in the country where it's just nothing like it is here, and there's not the density that we have, and all of that stuff, they may be doing different things. But when you're like, you know, I don't know, you're in a store. I was in a store today, and I'm walking around with the mask and whatever, following the rules. And there's these people there, like, no mask, or I don't know, she's on the phone, but she puts the mask off because she feels like she can't talk on the... I mean, that's not right. That's not right, because you're hurting someone else, right? You have to think of the other, right? That's this concept of arevut, which is very interesting, you know, for us as... Not to just think about it as Jews, but as human beings, you know, with that we share, a world with as New Yorkers, Westchesterians, as whatever we are, we have to think about these things. No question. Kach amar Iov lachaverav, ma'afi mamram shagiti ati iti talin meshugati u'mashi v'lo chaverav. He says something similar with Iov. Usmach lemitzvah satochacha. Pasuk lotisna achicha bilvavecha. And we'll close with this. And he says, the mitzvah of tochacha, right after the mitzvah of rebuke, we know the next pasuk, as we said, is do not hate your brother in your heart. Right? Lotisna et achicha bilvavecha. Ki vizman she'ahava mitzuya biYisrael, kol echad b'tovato shel chaveiro. Because as long as there's love existent within the Jewish people, where everyone wants what's best for the other. Therefore, you go over to your friend and you say, you know, it's really a bad idea. You really should put the mask on. You really should social distance. You really should, you know, shouldn't be eating that sandwich. You really, whatever it is, you really shouldn't do that on Shabbos, you know. But when people hate each other, if there's hatred amongst you, you'll never rebuke them. Why? V'adraba. Humachnifo. You'll say, oh, how did I do? I love the guy. How did I do? Oh, my God. You were fine. You were great. Yeah, you did a good job. It was good. You know. No, you did something horrible. But you don't really care about the person. Lemor kishura asita. You say, oh, yeah, you did fine. It was good. What you did was fine. But it was terrible. V'lo pa'alta oven. You didn't do anything wrong. V'chol kavanaso la'adiach alav hara. And all he wants to do is just like, yeah, whatever. He'll continue to do, you know, that bad stuff, like, whatever, right? And ultimately, perhaps even rejoice at the person's downfall. That's hatred, right? We think, you know, very often, we hear it from kids, we hear it from perhaps from spouses, family members. Why are you ragging on me? Why are you giving me such a hard time, right? Why, you know, get off my back. Why do we do that? It's love. We love when we love people so much. We see them doing wrong. We see them going on a wrong path. We love them. Therefore, we want to tell them, guys, like, come on, wake up, look what's going on. Rabbi Rubinstein, Zichrono Levracha, a blessed memory, used to tell me this a lot. He would say to me, and because there are some times where the rabbi would, you know, say certain things to me, you know, like, whatever, it wasn't like, oh, you did great, you know, all the time. You know, sometimes it was something, you know, maybe I didn't want to hear, something maybe, you know, unpleasant to the ears. And he would say to me straight up, and he'd see my face. I'd be like, oh my God, you know. But he would say to me straight up, he'd say, Jonathan, Reb Jonathan, he called me. I love you. This is why I'm saying this to you. If I didn't care about you, I would just let you say whatever it is. Oh, okay. You know, what? I love you. I want to see you succeed. I want to see you grow. I'm going to talk to you in a certain way. I'm going to say certain things. That's real love. Umida zu. Halo hir birkat b'nei amenu. Miyom shegavra egrofa shel sinat chinam. Min churban ba'icheni. Bahala ve'ad hayom lo sara. And he says, this attribute is the, if you notice, he says it's birkat, it's the blessing of our people. But he doesn't really mean that it's the blessing of our people. He's saying it in a different kind of way. Sorry, you know what? I think I read it wrong, or it's written wrong. That's why I just checked the sefer. It shouldn't say birkat. He birabat b'nei amenu. He says, we find this everywhere. Says the Kli Yakar. People from the moment that baseless hatred came to be the reason for the destruction of the Second Temple until this day, it's never gone away. No one says a word. No one cares about the other. We don't feel that sense of being guarantors for each other, of love for each other. And this nega, this affliction, it gets worse and it spreads until God will finally come and see v'asir lev ha'evin mikirbenu and take away the heart of stone from within our midst. Meaning, if we just, there's a sense that we've lost the sense of national responsibility of what it is to be responsible for the other and to really care about the other. I'll just tell you just a personal story from a few weeks ago. Simon showed me, it was on Chol HaMoed, and he showed me that in Borough Park and Flatbush and places in Toronto, whatever, they have these guys on Chol HaMoed. They had people on flatbed trucks. I might have mentioned it at some point in some Zoom. On flatbed trucks, during Chol HaMoed, and they had, because usually they have concerts and, you know, singing, whatever. And they had these guys, like, literally with bands on the truck. And singers, and they're singing, and people coming out, and it's really nice. And this is, like, again, the height of the corona stuff, and people in these communities are literally dying, disproportionately dying, unfortunately, still getting sick, bli ayin hara, in these communities. And I'm looking, and Simon's like, oh, look at this, it's amazing, right? Because people, it's giving them simcha, it's like really funny seeing, like, you know, Hasidic singers, you know, being driven through the streets of wherever, in Flatbush and Park Park, Williamsburg. And I'm like, they're not socially distanced. Those people aren't socially distanced. What about the band? Do you think the band's socially distanced? They're not, you know. And I'm being like really like a nitpicker, like I'm being kind of like a naysayer. And Simon's like, What are you being such a downer? Let's just enjoy. Let's just like laugh. It's cute. It's funny. It's nice. These people have been cooped up. They don't live in houses like we do. They live in apartments. They're cooped up and it's nice. Look at the simcha. And I said to him, like, we got into kind of, we had words of love. And I said to him, Simon, you don't understand. And I'm being honest. I'm not, when I'm criticizing and I'm nitpicking, you know, the socially, you're not so... I'm doing it because not because I'm angry or not because I want to be upset with them. I'm actually doing it out of love. I'm sad because I don't want this to continue. I don't want people to continue to die. I don't want people to continue to think that these rules don't apply to them. And it's so upsetting to our, as a fellow Jew. So to see, going back full circle, to see that funeral, it's just upsetting. Yes. Yes, I agree that, you know, he shouldn't have said, he shouldn't have put it publicly, de Blasio, and then, you know, it's nice that he did apologize eventually, but it should never have happened, and he shouldn't have said Jewish community, and you're right, every other community probably wouldn't have said, but like, just straight up, when I see that, it makes me sad, because these are our brothers and our sisters, and maybe they're not looking at us as much as brother and sister, but we look at them as brother and sister. And and there has to be that love, and there has to be some way to, you know, to engender a sense of responsibility that we're all responsible for each other. Because ultimately, if you don't have that, then we carry, if we have authority over the other, we carry that sin. But ultimately, it brings to a place of hatred. And chas v'shalom, we should not come to a place of hatred. Even, you know, when we look at the community and we see in the New York Post and we see on the Fox News, and it's very embarrassing and upsetting, we have to also understand that there's a really a different worldview. And again, it's not my worldview, but they're not educated the way we're educated. They barely understand what a germ is, what a microbe is, what a contagion is, what it means. They barely understand it. And what they understand is, no, if I daven, I'll be okay. And that's the language. Ultimately, you know, perhaps in Mirza Hashem, we could at some point in the future help, you know, try to educate the community, try to bridge that gap between a lack of understanding and education and a sense of godliness and spirituality. Halavai, we should have that yearning to be back, to be at Minyan every day, and to be, you know, in shul every day. I know we all do on some level, but there's a lot that we can learn from them by way of spirituality and community. That Baruch Hashem, we have community, but you know what I mean, right? In terms of, you know, primacy of Torah and the primacy of you know, all of the of Avodat Hashem in all of our dealings, you know, vis-a-vis the outside world and so on. We have to understand that there's what we can learn from them, and there's so much that they can learn from us, and there's just parts of this that they just don't understand. And that's what's leading to these unfortunate, upsetting incidents. Emir Tzashem, they get the message, let de Blasio on his own ticket them on the citations, the police do whatever, because we just want them safe. That's all we want. Just as we want the safety of our own family, of our friends, our neighbors, our family members, we should want the safety of the whole Jewish community. And we share, take this moment as I finish up, to just share an incredible, immense pride for the Jewish people in Israel. Again, read this piece by David Horowitz. He goes, I don't get it. He's like, is it our superior, you know, doctors? We have great doctors, but everyone has great doctors. Is it our, you know, this? Is it our that? Is it, you know, we're healthy. There are a lot of people that are healthy. Is it our climate? He's like, I don't know. He's like, but something's going on. Something's like amazing. And we should really take pride in our Judaism to understand that what's happening now, which is unbelievable. Whereas normally the paradigm is when the diaspora Jewish, when Israel's in trouble, who comes to help? Oh, the Jews in the diaspora, the American Jews. They give money, they send support, they give blah, 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 blah. Now they're talking about and literally actively figuring out a way for the state of Israel to help the Jewish diaspora control and contain and deal with this coronavirus epidemic for us, which is disproportionately impacting the Jewish community. And it's, you know, there's no greater sense of arevus from thousands of miles away than that. So that's something we should all really take pride in and have a sense of the ahavta l'reacha kamocha, come to a place of love and adoration for all those, for all Jews, and especially at this time in our lives, for all of humanity, as we do everything we can to protect not only ourselves, but to protect the public health of everyone around us. Thank you, everyone. You stay classy, Scarsdale. We will see you tomorrow.
One question?
Yes, Jer.
I'm just curious. You know, a year ago we had the measles outbreak, and look what happened. They didn't want to listen to the vaccination. But to save a life, isn't that more important than...
Yes.
Life is worth a lot.
Yes. Yes.
Get vaccinated and you save yourself from dying. You know what I'm saying, Rabbi?
100%. The answer is yes. The answer is yes. But
don't you want to be safe?
Yep. Yep.
I understand this.
It's about education. It's about education.
Well, then they need to change.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
That's what I'm trying to say before.
Thank you, Jared. Good night, guys. Take care.